Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. It appears the only thing one has to be in order to enter our nation today is to be a good liar. The Mexican cartels will tell you when you get to our border, just say you're fleeing persecution from your native land, and we'll let you in with no checks. So why would anyone think that entering our nation by telling a lie suggests that these people will ever be worthwhile members of our nation? On the other hand, our nation's border czar, who just made her second visit to the border, assures us that our southern border is secure. I wonder why none of our nation's border patrol people agree. We really need a truly secure border like we had 4 years ago. And this Monday, October 7th, is the one-year anniversary of Hamas's attack on Israel. They started this war by attacking thousands of innocent Israeli civilians at a concert, then taking hundreds of hostages, many of which they still hold. We must continue to stand against the Iran-supported terrorists. Perhaps, if elected, President Trump will defund Iran as he did during his last term as president. Okay, joining me at the 50-caliber microphone today is Marine Beth Skip Coriel. Do you plan to vote early or on election day, Skip?
Well, Denny, I'm old school. I'm just going to vote on election day. It's like a tradition for me. I like leading up to it, and I like being able to look forward to voting on that day, to go there, you know, with my family. This year it'll be, you know, me and my wife, but now my 18-year-old son Cedar, he's going to be voting for the very first time, so I feel I need to supervise him.
Well, I'm a little bit like you on that. I think everybody should vote on election day. I'd like us to go back to that, and maybe even all have paper ballots that could be counted by human beings without whatever.
Okay. It worked a lot better. It did.
And we knew by the end of the day. Here's what we have for you today. On News and Comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss Iran's goals of killing President Trump and how some Americans seem to want to help him. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Marine vet David Houston from Concerned Veterans for America will discuss standing up for our nation. Forrest Hamilton will discuss silver and gold. And we'll discuss last weekend's Service Academy football games. And finally, veteran Teresa Robinson will introduce another female veteran.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We really welcome your input to this show. Please do send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Front Lines of Freedom. Naturally, we'll start with the news. You're up, Skip.
Well, Colonel, Israel's military killed Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Iran-backed Hezbollah, in an airstrike last weekend in Beirut, Lebanon. The jet fighter strike targeted the group's central headquarters, which were embedded under a residential building in Beirut's southern suburb. That region of the city has long been a stronghold of the terror group. Nasrallah, who only gave speeches via video because of his fear of assassination, led the terrorist group for 30 years with fiery rhetoric. He crystallized its threats to destroy Israel and our presence in Lebanon. His death leaves a leadership void in the strongest terrorist force in the Middle East. Israeli Army General Herzi Halevi said Nasrallah's killing demonstrated anyone who threatens the citizens of Israel, we will know how to reach them. The strike was the latest in a series of massive explosions targeting terrorist leaders, which has been firing rockets and drones across Lebanon's southern border into Israel for almost a year amid the country's war with Hamas. The Israeli military said that real-time intelligence on an operational opportunity allowed them to carry out the strike, which also killed Ali Karki, the commander of Hezbollah's southern front, and additional Hezbollah commanders, according to the IDF. Quote, the strike was conducted while Hezbollah's senior chain of command were operating from the headquarters and advancing terrorist activities against the citizens of the State of Israel. The strikes leveled multiple high-rise apartment buildings in the biggest blast to hit the Lebanese capital since Hezbollah started firing on Israel a year ago. At least 11 people were killed and 108 were wounded. The shockwave rattled windows and shook houses some 18 miles north of Beirut, and TV footage showed several craters amid collapsed buildings in a densely populated, predominantly Shiite neighborhood. A senior general in Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps was also reportedly killed in the strike. General Abbas Nifaroshan, 58, had been identified as the deputy commander for operations.
It's unfortunate that some civilians were killed or wounded, but when you live in a neighborhood that includes a terrorist headquarters, and it's clear that the terrorists were using you as a shield behind which to hide, you got to realize you're living in a target area, so you can move unless you support the terrorists.
And after disappearing while submerged, the Chinese submarine Changcheng 361 was later found when fishermen spotted a periscope above the surface. An engine failure had suffocated the entire crew. The ghost submarine had spent 10 days drifting aimlessly below the waves.
So, anybody want to join the Chinese submarine force? If you do, listen to the next thing.
And China's efforts to achieve maritime military parity with us suffered a serious blow when its newest state-of-the-art nuclear submarine sank at a dock. This happened last May or June at the Wuchang shipyard near Wuhan, the same city where the COVID-19 pandemic originated, and came to light thanks to satellite imagery, despite efforts by the Chinese to stage a cover-up. A U.S. defense official said Zhu-class vessel, first of a new kind of Chinese submarines and distinctive for its X-shaped stern that aids maneuverability, is believed to have been next to a pier when it sank. It's not known if there were any casualties or if the sub had any nuclear fuel on board at the time, although experts deem that likely. The submarine was eventually salvaged, but it's believed it will take many months before it can be put to sea.
The Chinese are spending a lot of money here. Maybe we should stop buying electric car batteries from them to make them less able to afford their new nuclear subs?
And Hezbollah dramatically escalated its attacks on Israel late last month, launching a ballistic missile at Tel Aviv. This was the first time Hezbollah has used a ballistic missile and the closest it has ever come to hitting Tel Aviv. The Iranian-made missile can carry a payload of over 2,000 pounds. Had it hit Tel Aviv, it could have leveled city buildings and killed scores of Israelis. But the missile was shot down thanks to Israel's David Sling, the remarkable medium-range missile defense system that can intercept missiles that are too fast for Iron Dome to stop. On April 13, the system shot down hundreds of cruise missiles and drones fired by Iran toward Israel. This time, David Sling helped save countless lives in central Israel, while Iron Dome continues to intercept hundreds more rockets every single day.
We need our country to invest roughly $2.4 billion in funding for David Sling. That's good for our ally Israel, and we'll gain from the development too. By the way, after Hezbollah's missile attack on Tel Aviv, the IDF destroyed the rocket launcher in southern Lebanon. Since then, over 2,000 Hezbollah targets have been struck across Lebanon, destroying tens of thousands of rockets and missiles that were ready to be launched at Israeli civilians. Go Israel.
At its surface, stolen valor is a legal term used to describe people who claim gallant military awards, like the Purple Heart, a Bronze Star, or Medal of Honor, that they did not earn, in an effort to gain money, property, or other tangible benefits according to a congressional act. But it seems to have inhabited a broader meaning and gained a foothold in the public consciousness in recent years, one that has been sometimes divisive, but also critical to identifying when public figures might be embellishing or outright lying about their service records.
Any constant liar is totally unworthy. To me, as a veteran, it's a major issue, especially for those who would seek to represent me in government. In this election year, this is a big deal. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CVAFrontlines.com. That's CVAFrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel. We'll enjoy some warrant wisdom, and then we'll talk with Marine vet David Houston. At ease, troops, take a break. In business for over 30 years with over $1 billion in sales, Universal Coin and Bullion is my go-to source for gold and silver coins And right now, they're offering our listeners a newly minted 0.99 fine 1 ounce 2024 silver American Eagle coin for just $27. Call 800-UCB-GOLD, 800-UCB-GOLD, or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. According to the National Sexual Violence Resource Center, 80% of rape victims knew their attacker. Be careful who you let into your life. If they don't feel right to you, then don't associate with them. My experience has taught me this. When you let crazy people into your life gets crazy. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess with inflation going crazy and prices up out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals, gold and silver. I encourage you to join me in purchasing these solid investments from Universal Coin and Bullion. Find them at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. And now it's time for comments by the Colonel. President Donald Trump has been in Tehran's crosshairs since he ordered the killing of top Iranian General Qasem Soleimani in the neighboring Iraq in 2020. And it doesn't help that he backed out of the Obama deal that allowed Iran to widely sell their oil. Trump put a major economic hurt on Iran. It's not there now because the Biden-Harris administration removed it, thus allowing Iran to fund terrorism all over the Middle East. Tehran has repeatedly vowed to avenge Soleimani, and many officials, including Supreme Leader Ayatollah Al-Khamenei, have alluded to killing Trump and other senior members of his administration on U.S. soil. Quote, "We will prepare the ground and exact vengeance on the Americans from within their homes using their companions," said Ismail Qani, who succeeded Soleimani as the commander of the Quds Force, the overseas arm of the powerful Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, in January of 2022. Our media reported that on July 16th, the Secret Service had enhanced Trump's security detail after receiving intelligence in recent weeks that Iran was planning to assassinate him. Trump is both our former president and the Republican nominee for president, so one would assume that he would be well protected by our Secret Service and other agencies. But it turns out that our presidential security force is totally incompetent, at least at the senior and middle-level leadership levels. More incompetence comes out every day. Iran's plot appeared to be unrelated to the failed attempt on Trump's life on July 13th, the report said, if the report can be trusted. Quote, "Plotting to kill a foreign leader, particularly an American presidential candidate, marks a significant leap in the crassness and risk tolerance of the clerical regime," said Benham Ben Tailblu, a senior fellow at the Washington-based Foundation for Defense of Democracies think tank. Iran has long been accused of carrying out assassinations, including of Iranian dissidents on foreign soil, although it always denies responsibility, of course. One of the most high-profile incidents was the 1991 killing of Shapur Bakhtiar, the last prime minister of Iran before the 1979 Islamic Revolution. Bakhtiar was shot dead in his home in France, a killing that was properly blamed on Tehran. quote, Iran has not been successful in such endeavors in recent years, and its activities tend to aim at disruption rather than assassinating former potential heads of state, said Gregory Brew, an Iran analyst in the U.S.-based Eurasia Group. He said that while it was, quote, unclear whether Iran's intelligence services are up to the task, end quote, Trump's close call on July 13th brings, quote, into question any confidence the Secret Service can keep him totally safe from harm, end quote. And then there was the recent attempted attack on the golf course. TailBlue said it would therefore be a mistake to dismiss Iran's threats. Despite public declarations by senior Iranian officials about the desire to avenge Soleimani by killing Trump, Iranian diplomats have dismissed the reports linking Tehran to plots to assassinate the former president. Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kamani said in July that Tehran was, quote, determined to prosecute Trump, end quote, while the Iranian mission in the UN insisted they had chosen, quote, the legal route, end quote, to hold him accountable. Separately, Acting Foreign Minister Ali Bakr Kani said Iran will, quote, resort to illegal and judicial procedures at the domestic and international level, end quote. Yeah, right. Like their terrorist organizations like Hamas and Hezbollah do to Israel. TailBlue said that the comments by Iranian officials were in line with the, quote, standard division of labor in Tehran's security policy. The foreign ministry tries to nullify threats through changes in style, while the Revolutionary Guard Corps and others are able to press ahead with the same sort of terror and destabilization in substance, he said. In December, a Tehran court ordered our government to pay nearly $50 billion in damages for assassinating Soleimani. That court convicted Trump and 41 other U.S. officials over the assassination. Said Mahmoudi, a professor of international law at Stockholm University, told Iran Radio Farda that Iran court cases against Trump were only for show and lack credibility. Quote, it's very, very unusual for a foreign country to prosecute Trump. Only international courts are equipped to do this, he said, adding that international law does not allow domestic courts to prosecute current and former heads of state based on local laws. Trump led Biden and is currently leading Vice President Harris in the opinion polls, and some argue that the assassinations could help him. I think the fact that Trump speaks logically about how he did fix America and how he practically plans to do it if reelected, those are his strengths. His opponent seems focused on telling lies about Trump and making promises that are practically and economically impossible. On the other hand, the hate speech, like comparing Trump to Hitler, may be encouraging some of our goofy citizens to decide to try to kill Trump. Encouraging them would be a wise move for Iran. And we just permitted Iran's leader to enter the U.S. to address the U.N., the very man openly committed to kill Trump. I wonder why we let him in. It's clear that some very screwy people hate Trump. I understand why Iran hates him. I understand why some Americans may not like him, but I have no idea why some would hate him and want to kill him. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Front Lines of Freedom, and it's time to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
Well, it's looking like the Navy is going to be the first to pick their sixth-generation fighter, even before the Air Force. The Navy expects to award a contract for its next-generation carrier-based fighter in a few months, and it expects the long-range attack jet to enter service in the 2030s. The Air Force, on the other hand, has paused its next-generation aircraft program due to concerns that it's too expensive and it might not be the best answer for future emerging threats. The Navy did say that they did learn from the Air Force that the next generation aircraft needs to be able to integrate with both manned and unmanned capabilities. So the Navy is going to be going through a rapid analysis over the next 3 months to make a decision between Boeing, Lockheed Martin, and Northrop Grumman. The Navy's next gen fighter is currently being referred to as FA-XX, at least for now. And it's meant to replace the F-18 Super Hornet multi-role fighter and the EA-18 Growlers electronic warfare attack aircraft. The new aircraft's main goal is to deliver greater range and possess more sensing and electronic warfare capabilities than the service's current F-35 fifth generation fighters. For the Air Force, a sixth-generation fighter is being conceived as a replacement for the F-22 Raptor. However, the cost of a new fighter, which is believed to be between $200 and $300 million, was the biggest reason that Secretary of Air Force Frank Kendall decided to pause the program. For comparison, the F-35 has a price tag of about $80 to $100 million. The Air Force is still very likely to move forward on a manned sixth-generation fighter. I think they're just looking for options to reduce the overall cost. The other thing I'm not seeing a whole lot of talk about is as the military continues to move towards unmanned platforms, could the sixth-generation fighters be our military's last crewed fighter jets? We'll have to see. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I always enjoy your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with David Houston from Concerned Veterans for America. Then we'll talk gold and silver with Forrest Hamilton. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You're standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Do 50, then stand at ease.
From ensuring veterans get the care they deserve, to ending our nation's endless wars, to targeting out-of-control spending, Concerned Veterans for America is taking on the most important issues facing America.
You can help CVA shape a better future for Americans everywhere. Visit CVAFrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's CVAFrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome Marine vet David Houston from Concerned Veterans for America to the show. David works for the Concerned Veterans for America in Florida. Welcome to the show, Dave. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Danny.
David, what do you do? What's your role in Concerned Veterans for America in Florida?
Sure. So I'm the Director of Grassroots Operations here in Florida. I'm really in charge of our fantastic team in the state, of our engagement directors throughout the state. Basically, just getting involved in the community here in Florida, listening to veterans' stories and getting them active in what's so important, which is having a voice in policy. Veterans nowadays probably don't realize how powerful their voice is when it comes to policy and legislation and getting a part of the process. So that's really our main mission here in the state of Florida, also across the nation.
Yeah, I hear very, very much from veterans and non-veterans that they're frustrated with what's going on in our nation, but they don't know what to do. CVA, Concerned Veterans for America, is a place you can plug into and be given some things you can do, whether it's part of a team or something you can do by yourself. That's one of the things that I really appreciate about Concerned Veterans for America. So, that given, what is the mission of Concerned Veterans for America?
So our mission is to really shape a better American future through building engaged communities of veterans and activists, and also just empowering to deliver solutions to America's pressing challenges and issues. One of my favorite things to say when I'm talking to folks who are new to CVA is really we talk about the issues that we face as Americans, as veterans, but then also coming up with principled solutions to those problems.
And by the way, CVA welcomes people who are not veterans too, right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay, good. Okay. I know that CVA very much opposes endless wars. I truly do too. What's their position? We got two sort of wars that we're not in, but we're sort of in Ukraine and Israel. What's the CVA position on Ukraine?
Sure. So one of our big pillars is really looking at a lens of foreign policy through what we call as realism and restraint. And what that entails is really looking at the world and the landscape for what it is rather than what we would like it to be. And as you can see with Ukraine being a perfect example of that, just really getting the U.S. interest back involved into the conversation and really switching the gears of what the traditional methods of thinking what foreign policy looks like in terms of where we need to start thinking about what are our own U.S. interests and are we building strategy that aligns with what most Americans are facing?
Well, that makes sense, because if we have on occasion gone after every bad, unfortunate thing in the world, we could be broke while being the good guy around the world. We got to take care of America first. That's what you're saying, isn't it?
Right. And one of the biggest things, and as we see in just current news with being here in Florida, we were affected by the recent hurricane and seeing that the devastation that it's created across the country, really just thinking about what resources are we utilizing here at home and taking care of our interests first. And I mean, the hurricane is a great example of something that with the current approach of how we use foreign policy isn't quite reflective of the needs that we have here in our country. One thing that I would point out is the recent story that just came out of the 700 National Guardsmen from Tennessee who are now being deployed into Kuwait, where we have in our backyard in Tennessee the devastation with this hurricane, and where we need to start thinking of different ways we could utilize the resources that we have that could better suit our country first.
Indeed. How about Israel?
So the escalations in the Middle East, another example of our current foreign policy and the current administration of really just keeping American service members in harm's way with the escalation that we're seeing in the Middle East with our service members in Iraq and Syria, where they've become essentially targets in a region with really no mission that they have currently.
Well, that's a truly good point. I'm glad that we don't have anybody in combat there. And I do understand that there are bad guys there that we want to control if we can, but we can only do so much. And yeah, I see that point. That's good sense.
Right.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with David Houston from Concerned Veterans for America. So what are some of the other big issues for CVA? I mean, there's so many, and you guys can't concentrate on all of them. What are the big focuses for CVA?
So some of the big focuses, as well as our foreign policy and really educating on the realism of restraint, is also just what service members are interacting with after service once they become veterans. And that's in the healthcare space, where we're big proponents and advocates of veterans having more choice in their healthcare. Being behind the 2018 Mission Act was a big accomplishment as an organization that we had. And we want to continue to see that expand even further to allow veterans to ultimately have full and ultimate choice in their healthcare so that we can keep our promise as a nation to take care of our veterans after service.
Well, I sure appreciate that. I get some of my care from the VA, and I live in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and the VA near me they're really good people. I get very good care there. But sometimes, not for anything critical, I may have to wait 3 months to get an appointment. It would be nice to not have to do that. So, and I know there are other places where the service isn't quite that good, and that needs to be jacked up too.
Right. And I'll tell you, Denny, a perfect example is actually in my backyard here in Tampa. We actually have two major VA hospitals, one in Tampa specifically, and then also over in Pinellas County right next door at the Bay Pines facility. Personally, I've had great treatment at the Tampa VA, my experience through that VA, but I couldn't say the same for my brothers and sisters that access the Bay Pines VA facility. And I think that's a great example of just allowing veterans to have that choice, whether they are seen at the VA facility or they choose to have what would be a community provider through the community care program in their backyard. Really, what we see with allowing veterans to be empowered with their choices, we have way better outcomes with it.
That's so obvious that you'd think everybody would see it immediately.
Right.
And again, I'm very happy with the care I've gotten from the VA. And that's not to say everybody's perfect. I mean, besides you and I, David, there's so few perfect people out there, but the VA has got some really good people. But yeah, options for veterans. Wow. Yes, I agree with that. What else you got?
The biggest thing as well, along those lines with just talking about options for veterans in the community care program, one of the big things that goes with that is also just accountability of the VA. So as I mentioned, the 2018 Mission Act and the community care program, just having that oversight of how that should be implemented correctly within the VA. And what we see is, unfortunately, the VA dissuading veterans from accessing that benefit and that choice. And that's currently the state of affairs that we see with veterans and the stories that we hear on the ground, where I would say that probably half of our battle is just educating veterans that that's even a choice for them, that that is law, that's something that they can access currently, and how life-saving that choice can be for our veterans. And being dissuaded from that option is disheartening, and it's costing lives. With I'm sure I'm beating the a drum that's very common with veterans of what they see. But what it comes down to is just that oversight and holding the VA accountable to these laws that are already created. And then also just thinking of solutions that would expand this even further so that our veterans can access this straight from the start, really. And one of the barriers we see is just even having to deal with what really is a middleman within the community care office of getting these referrals, being able to access this benefit, and how we see a better path forward where if the veteran's just empowered straight from the gate of choosing where they get their care, their outcomes are going to be so much better because they have control really of their healthcare. And veterans, they want to be as close to 100% as possible after getting out of service. And the only way to really do that is by empowering them with that choice.
Good point. There's more to discuss about our nation's issues, even the health, and David is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Yeah, troops, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, used to before I got into my mid-80s. Then take a break and stay in the area. David and I will be right back. If you ever have to defend yourself or your family, you will likely need legal support, as there is almost always an investigation. After you call 911, call U.S. Law Shield so you can have immediate legal support. This is why U.S. Law Shield was formed. They're here to help people through events they never thought would happen to them. Their attorneys are available 24/7, 365. Learn more or sign up at uslawshield.com, promo code frontlines. That's uslawshield.com, promo code frontlines.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S.-only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off, promo code FREEDOM, and shop today.
It's that time of the year again. The U.S. Mint is making their new 2024 American Silver Eagle and American Gold Eagle coins, and there's no better time to shore up your investment in precious metals than now. Call Universal Coin and Bullion at 800 UCB Gold to get great prices on the finest gold and silver coins of the year. I work with Universal Coin and Bullion because they're a company that you can trust. So give them a call at 800 UCB Gold. That's 800 UCB Gold, or check them out at universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with David Houston from Concerned Veterans for America. David, we're talking about the availability of health care to veterans with the perspective, I really appreciate the way you put this, of helping veterans get back to as close to 100% productivity as they can so they can get on with their lives, not just sort of waiting till somebody can get around to helping them on something. That's a really important thing, isn't it?
So having those options is extremely important. As we see and hear those stories on the ground here in Florida and across the nation, is unfortunately, the veterans that get into the VA healthcare system, it seems as though it's a ever-ending cycle of just trying to get appointments first and foremost to get care. but then also just the long-term goal of where they want to be. It seems as though it's a lot of band-aids and fixing things so that they ultimately have to be coming back to the VA facilities to get their care. And we want to break that cycle. We want to make sure that veterans know that they have the empowerment, that they have the responsibility to go out and choose where they get their health care. And having that empowerment will ultimately create a better outcome so that veterans have that control and can have that long-term goal in mind of getting back to 100%. As we all see, all Americans are facing with the current economy and the barriers that we face, veterans have added barriers with just their healthcare and having the current situation of having to access healthcare with months of waiting to get their care and get in their appointments. And we want to see those barriers go away so that, like you mentioned, Denny, so that they can get to as close to 100% as productivity as possible and get back into society after service and give back in means that they feel empowered and really self-actualized in their roles as American citizens after service.
Yes, sir. I could not agree more with you, David. Okay. Is there another area that CVA is really focusing on?
So the VA healthcare is a very big pillar that we're working on currently. And then going back to our original conversation with foreign policy and realism and restraint, such an important aspect that veterans bring a perspective after coming out of service and seeing where our current strategies are being utilized abroad when it comes to foreign policy. And a lot of these service members, after coming out of 20-year wars, out of 20 years of conflict and nation building, we don't want to see our military utilized in that same capacity. And really the detriment that it caused to our greatest national treasure, which is our military servicemen and women.
Yes, sir. I agree with that. And it is certainly true. In the war in Ukraine, I certainly stand with Ukraine. They aren't a perfect country by a long shot. They've got their all kinds of issues like everybody does. But it's really the responsibility of the European nations around them to help their neighbor. And clearly, if Russia's successful there, they're going to start pushing at other European countries, particularly NATO countries. So they're the ones that need to be truly hardcore behind it. And that doesn't mean that I don't think we should do anything to help, but I think the largest support should come from their neighbors. Is that consistent with CVA?
So along those lines with just understanding that, yes, those European countries need to step up to help in these regards, because when you think about just us as a nation and the amount of resources that we've been putting into this conflict and what that does strategy-wise for our own country and the position that it puts us, it honestly wears down our own interests and our own ability to defend ourselves as a country when you really think about it.
Well, of course, we only have so much we can do.
Right.
And the thinner we spread it around, the less ability we have to respond to something. So yes, and certainly one of my major concerns is the outrageously huge national debt we have. We need to stop spending money in a lot of places to get our debt under control. And that means, in my opinion, and I think you agree, America first. We're going to not stop supporting America. We are going to support America by reducing our debt. But that means we're going to have to be less involved internationally. I don't mean zero, but less. Is that logical to you?
That makes sense. And it really, when you start thinking about just the national debt, and this goes into all kinds of spending, and we even see this with our operations of trying to hold the VA accountable and even their spending as well. As and something I could point out specifically is the budget shortfall that they currently have with the $15 billion of requesting of their shortfall in their budget. Where are these funds being utilized? Is it really following the veteran? Is it focused around what the veteran's needs are? So going into, especially as we get into the next Congress as well, having that accountability of really where the resource is being utilized. Is it actually following the needs? And something I point specifically is what we see in veterans healthcare. Is it following the veteran? Is it benefiting the veteran?
Well said. I totally agree with that. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Dave Houston from Concerned Veterans for America. Dave, let's start a wrap-up. Take a minute now and give some reasons why listeners may want to get involved with the CVA, and if they do, what you can help them do.
Sure. So we're a national grassroots organization. We're really a megaphone for veterans to amplify their voices when it comes to veteran healthcare, foreign policy, scopes of everything that Americans are facing every single day. And we are in multiple states across the country. And we have a website, which is actually cv4a.org. You can take action. You can sign up to volunteer there. We have activists all across the states. Here in Florida, we make phone calls. We knock on doors, canvas our communities, host community events, and really just keep this conversation going within our community with veterans, veteran supporters, and activists so that solutions can actually happen, so that we can see lasting change. And it really is just taking that first step. So again, if your listeners could go to our website, which is cv4a.org, and click that Take Action button. Getting involved in the process is so important. And like I mentioned earlier, veterans have such a powerful voice when it comes to policy. We just have to use it.
I agree with you totally. So if they do that, they'll be in touch with somebody who can give them some options of things they can do. So it's not that everybody does everything, but people can do what they can do and what they have interest in. And they don't have to be veterans to do this. Am I right?
Yes, sir. So all Americans are in this fight we see every day. We just really organize the veteran voice and the veteran communities. But everybody's is really touched to a veteran in some way or capacity, whether that be veteran family members or veteran friends. Everybody has come in contact with a veteran, and having these perspectives shared is so important.
And if go to cv4a.org, that'll plug you into something in your state or locality, not something national?
Yes. So we will be able to get you in touch with either whether we have a chapter in your state or close to you. We also get involved in digital means. We are in the 21st century with new means of spreading the message through social media. That is a big target that we utilize through X, Facebook, Instagram, and sharing these stories far and wide. It really helps in the mission of getting this conversation talked about on the national stage and also in our communities.
Wow. David, thank you. Thank you for your great comments and your service to our nation in uniform, but especially what you're doing now. This is awesome. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Denny. I really appreciate it.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Forrest Hamilton about precious metals. Then we'll discuss last weekend's Service Academy football games. Then Teresa Robinson will introduce another female veteran. And of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. U.S. Law Shield is a part of the Frontlines of Freedom team. If you have weapons for self-defense of your family and yourself, and you ever need to use a legal weapon, you're going to need legal defense. U.S. Law Shield is the team my wife and I use. Go to uslawshield.com and use the promo code FRONTLINES. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Do 40 good ones, maybe 20 more push-ups, then grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.